Oh. One more song, Jesus Paid It All.
Praise the Lord. Amen. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Going to minister today and just honor our mothers, or do my best to honor you mothers. I pray all of your children texted you Happy Mother's Day this morning. If they haven't yet, they just haven't woken up yet. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to be reading just a handful of verses here. I like to title this message, The Nurturing Heart of Christ in the Mothers That He Created. The Nurturing Heart of Christ in the Mothers He Created. This beautiful Sunday morning, we come together to celebrate not only the Lord's goodness, but the special gift that He gave us in mothers. Today, we will reflect on how Christ's nurturing heart is reflected so clearly in the mothers that He created, those of faith, of strength, of love, and of comfort. Let's just begin with prayer this morning. Father, we just thank You. We love You and we praise You, Lord. Thank You today for Your love that knows no bounds, a love that's so deep and so gentle and yet so powerful. As we celebrate mothers, help us to see You in them, Lord God. Let Your Spirit guide this word and open every heart here to understand the beauty and sacred calling of motherhood. In Jesus' name that we pray, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 1 through 14, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, in whom I serve, with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remembered you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has also saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. The apostle Paul, writing to his spiritual son Timothy, recalls the genuine faith that first lived in Timothy's grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. He doesn't just acknowledge Timothy's faith, he traces it. Paul sees a lineage of faith passed down through the nurturing love and spiritual integrity of these godly women. Mothers of faith are the first preachers that their children will ever know. Before the pulpit, before Sunday school, before doctrine, there is the mother rocking her child, whispering prayers, and speaking life. I would attest personally to the salvation of my children to my wife, because she has nurtured them and loved them the way that Christ does. And truly, that is the calling of a Christian mother, to love as Christ loves, to nurture the flame of faith, and to pass on the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. And I just want to say this morning to the mothers in this room, just of my own personal testimony of my mother, but also my grandmother and my wife, that I've witnessed firsthand people, mothers, loving their children to Jesus, encouraging their children to faith. And you have an amazing ability, not just when they're infants, but throughout their life. Throughout my life, I have returned to my mom for great instruction. Now, I gave her a lot of hard times in the years of 13, probably to 19, I would say, really difficult years where I thought she didn't know anything and I knew everything. But I remember moving out on my own and missing out on valuable things that I never thought about buying, that my mom and my dad always provided. And I look back on those times. I remember going to my mom and saying, "You were right. And I was wrong. you knew better than I knew. Thank you. I didn't realize that adults had to buy toilet paper. I didn't realize that. I thought it just appeared. And when I became an adult, I didn't realize the things that my mother did without me knowing, the care that she took of us without ever receiving the gratitude that she really deserved. And this morning I pray to all of you that all of you realize that there is a heavenly gratitude from the Lord, that God has instilled this in you. He's instilled the nature of a nurturer in you. And when you look at Jesus and you look at the Father and you see the great lengths that he went through to reveal that great love to us, you can see it in a mother's life. You can see it in the way that she cares for you, the way that she loves you, even when you don't understand it, even when it doesn't make sense to you and they're just protecting you. You see the very nature of Christ, because there's things that God reveals to me all the time that I just don't understand. I don't know why God won't let me do certain things or go certain places, but as time prevails, I look back like I did when I was 19, and I come back to the Lord and I go, "Thank you for teaching me this. Thank you for sharing. I didn't know why at the time, and I didn't even believe it at the time, but coming back, I recognize and I realize it." And Paul is sharing this truth with Timothy. He's saying that the faith of your grandmother was passed down to your mother, which was then passed down to you. Now I want us to understand that Lois and Timothy both had to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They had to make the conscious decision, but I want you to know that that decision was made easier by a mother figure that nurtured that faith within them, that held them and reassured them of the realness of God, the powerfulness of their Christ. And I think about my grandmother, and I think about when I was just a small child, the different things that I got to witness. I was sharing this morning in Sunday school, that when we stayed the night over at my mamaw's house, as a kid, you try to stay up all night, and you think, "Man, I'm going to get up early and do all these different things," and you think you're going to be the first one awake in the morning. And I remember coming around the corner of her house out of a little hallway, and she just every morning, always almost like she'd never left that chair. The night before, she was there with that lamp on, and her journals were spread out, and her Bible was open, and she was writing the scriptures and the revelation that God was giving her by the Holy Spirit. She was taking that time to pray over her home and over her family, over her children and her grandchildren. And I look back and I think that's where it started for me. It started with a grandmother who prayed for me and my salvation by praying for her own children's salvation, by loving them and teaching them the ways of Christ. I'm grateful that as a kid growing up, I had an ideal of who God was, and that was passed down from generations. And what an honor it is to be people of faith this morning, that you are already kicking off the next generation with a head start of who God is and what he's able to do. And that when people like me, when I was young and dumb and arrogant and zealous, that when I finally got to that place between a rock and a hard place and I couldn't move anywhere, I could remember the words of my grandmother and my mother who passed the faith down to me and go, "When you can't go anywhere in your own ability, you can always turn to the Lord." Amen. And so what a rich history that Paul is testifying about. He says that was in your grandmother and your mother, Eunice and Lois, that passed it down to you. And when I came along, I simply nudged the gospel of Jesus to you and became your spiritual father. But he doesn't give himself the glory or the honor of winning Timothy. He gives it to his grandmother. and his mother. So this morning, don't think today. You know, I have this thought all the time. Your children can change your opinions every day of whether you're doing a great job or a terrible job. Some days I'm thinking I'm nailing it as a parent. And then the very next day, you're like, I am the worst. Either I'm terrible or they're terrible. I've not made my mind up yet. And that's just the reality. But it's not about the highs and the lows and the emotions and the different things, the changing variables. It is about the steady contentment of the reality of Christ that is witnessed by our children. And I think so many times back through the years as we've raised our older ones and our younger ones are coming up, what have my children witnessed in me? I know they've witnessed the ups and downs of emotions and my flesh and my carnality. I've heard a man say this one time, lots of people have seen me do this, but they've not seen me do this. And I thought that was a great analogy, that we may be people that have our ups and downs, but we're not straying from the truth that is in Christ. We're not straying from the power of faith that is in Christ Jesus. And so I just thank God for you this morning, mothers, and to let you know that everything that you've done has not been in vain. You may have adult children today that have strayed from the path, but be encouraged that what you have instituted in them has not left them, that they will come to a place in their lives just like I did, and I've seen so many others. Maybe some of you can attest to that this morning, where you went off and you were your own person and made your own decisions. But you get into this place and you remember the words of your mother. You remember the words of maybe your grandmother, somebody that was a mother to you. And you think back and you go, man, what did they do? They prayed. They sought God. They looked for Jesus. And you look back and you go, it worked for them every time. Every time it worked for them, and they were satisfied in him. I want to share just a few thoughts on a virtuous woman out of Proverbs 31. You don't have to turn there. If you want to write them down in your notes, you're welcome to. But this is the portrait of a virtuous woman. I think this is incredible because Proverbs 31 is written under the guidance of a mother. If you go to the very beginning, it is talking about a mother to a young king. And many people believe that it's a different name in there. Than Solomon, but they think it's one of the many names that Solomon had carried. Maybe a name that his mother Bathsheba had endowed to him, like a nickname. And she's sharing this wisdom with Solomon. And I think that it is just absolutely perfect for today. But she begins by telling him about his own character and then concerning how necessary it is to seek after a virtuous woman, a godly, God-fearing woman who is going to honor God. And this is what it kind of shares. Here's some highlights. The Bible lifts high the example of the virtuous woman, one who rises early, works hard, speaks with wisdom, fears the Lord, and loves her household well. She is not defined by charm or outward beauty. She is defined by character, by sacrifice, by love and action. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. This is not just a list of accomplishments. It is a reflection of the heart of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve, who fed the hungry, clothed the poor, and gave everything for his beloved. Mothers, you are a living portrait of Christ in action. I can tell you, when you look back on the things of Jesus and the things that he did, I can look back and I can parallel them with the things that my mom had did for me, how she loved me, how she cared for me, the very way that Jesus has cared for me. I want to point us to Hannah in the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 1. I want you to think of Hannah, who longed for a child and made a vow to dedicate him to the Lord. Her story is not one of clinging tightly, but of releasing in faith. Many mothers here today have known the weight of that kind of prayer. Lord, if you give me this child, I'll give him back to you. A mother's love is never possessive. It is purposeful. Christ's love is the same. He gives freely and calls us to follow him with trust. I love the story of Hannah and Samuel because if you remember, Hannah was barren. And she was in contention with her husband's other wife who wasn't barren. And she went up to the Lord every year with her husband to give alms and pay homage to the Lord. And every year her husband would give her a portion to go and sacrifice at the temple and to give in the temple. And every year she would go to the altars of the temple and she would weep before God, asking God to give her a child. And on one special occasion, especially 1 Samuel chapter 1, she's weeping and sorrowful to the moment, to the point where Eli comes out and he says, "What are you doing, woman? Are you drunk?" I mean, she was so a mess over this, but she had just poured her heart out before the Lord and said, "No, I'm not drunk. I just long to have a child." And then that prayer that she was praying, she said, "God, if you give me a child, I'll dedicate that child's life to you. I'll make sure that I release this child, not to be mine, but to be yours." And I think that is an incredible feat of a mother. And she was able to be blessed with a child, and we all know him. You know, 1 and 2 Samuel is all about him. He anointed David as king, who was the forerunner for Christ. And he had an intimate relationship with God. And is that not every parent's dream and heart for their children to grow up and maybe not be prophetic or famous or honorable or renowned, but to have a relationship with God the way that Samuel did. Samuel spoke to God and God spoke to Samuel. And it all came from a moment where a mother said, "I trust you, Lord, with my children." I can tell you that's a great honor to bestow on the Lord. I remember years ago, Carly was pregnant with Rayleigh, and I remember that we were probably 6 or 7 months into the pregnancy. It was a holiday weekend, and Carly just began to have this terrible, sharp pain in her belly. Our first child, you could imagine the hysteria that we were in, the anxiety that we were under, not knowing why she's going through the pain that she was going. We're calling the emergency number, trying to get a hold of a nurse, trying to figure out, is this normal? Is this not normal? It was a church night. We went to the church, and I just fell down on my face before the Lord. We had just made the decision after service, we're going to go to the emergency room. We're going to figure out what's going on, very fearful of something happening to our baby. And I remember going down to the altar and just laying on my face crying, going, "God, this is my first baby. This is my first child. I want you to heal it, whatever it is. Don't let anything happen to my baby. Help my wife, God, in this pain that she's under." And it was like the Lord just softly whispered to me and said, "Is this baby yours or is this baby mine?" And I remember just laying there and just going, "God, I didn't think about that. Honestly, this is my baby. You've given her to me. I'm going to take care of her. I'm going to be strong for her. But here's the reality. I have no power to save her. I have no power to make her well or good or wealthy or anything. I have no ability to do any of that. But God does." And that's what he was trying to say. He's saying, "Give her to me. Entrust her to me, and I'll take care of her." And I just said, "God, I give you my wife, and I give you my daughter, and I trust you with them." And I remember going back to my seat, and when I sat down, Carly's just holding her belly, and she just reaches over and grabs my hand, and she said, "The pain is gone." And she was completely fine. Obviously, I have a beautiful daughter today. Nothing happened to her. And to the glory of God, she's saved. She loves Jesus. But I just think, man, I can constrict my children. I can try to control my children and do. But as all of us parents know, especially mothers, you have to turn them over to the Lord. You have to trust God with their trajectory. If you love them the way that you love them, how much more a perfect God, a perfect Father? Amen. So it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I just have a word also for the childless and the motherless. John 19, 25 through 27 makes this abundantly clear. Some of us carry the ache of absence. Maybe your mother has passed, or maybe you've longed for a child of your own. Jesus saw such sorrow even from the cross when he looked at his mother in John 19. And he says, "Woman, behold your son." And John, the beloved, "Behold your mother." Even in his agony, Christ created family. He provided comfort and care by binding people together in love. You are not forgotten and you're not overlooked. If you're here this morning and your mother is not here, Jesus understands. Jesus is concerned with that. But Jesus also wants you to look around and go, there are mothers here that don't have sons, that don't have children. And he's saying, just because yours isn't here, you can bind yourself to another. To mothers who don't have children, maybe you're barren. Some of you here have experienced that. And you've been able to take a child and love that child that another mother wasn't able to do. The care that you've given, the heart. That's the nature of Christ. The nature of binding people together to love and to care for one another the way that he did with John and with Mary. Such a beautiful example of this. This is God's own nurturing heart. Isaiah 66 and 13, as well as Luke 13 and 34, talks about this. Listen to God's own words in Isaiah. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You know, Isaiah is expressing this about Zion. He's talking about God, how God desires to comfort his own people the way that a mother desires to. Any fathers in here ever noticed that when that baby stubs her toe or there's a fever, he or she never wants dad. I just want my mama. You ever notice that? That's what God is saying. He's saying, I hear the hearts of my people, and they cry out to me like that. And a mother, I'm going to tell you right now, I used to tell Carla, just let her be, just let her be. They'd fall down, scrape their knee. And as a father, you're just trying to teach, hey, you know, get up, be tough. You're going to be okay, you know, it's going to be all right. Help yourself a little bit here. As a father, you do that. You got to bridle those mothers because they'll run to every beck and call. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad character trait. But you think about the Lord with Israel. And then after Jesus came, the new covenant that he made with us, the Lord is not bridled to us. And he, like a mother, cares for us. And when we fall and scrape our knee or we're in a place of danger or temptation or struggle and we begin to cry out to the Lord, he can't be bridled when he runs to us. There's the father's not holding him back. He's saying, like a mother who cares for their children, I long to care for you. He says the same thing about Jerusalem in Luke. Jesus laments over Jerusalem. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen, a mother hen, gathers her brood under her wings. This is the heart of Christ, protective, tender, longing to hold his people close. In the love of a mother, we get a glimpse of the heart of our Savior. In conclusion, today we honor mothers in our lives, biological, spiritual, adoptive, all who have nurtured us in faith and pointed us to Christ. You know, as much as I love my own biological mother, I think about the years that we spent away from them up in North Florida and how many of the older saints of God who were spiritual mothers to me, just like Timothy had a spiritual father and Paul, women of God that came and nurtured us and loved us and cared for us in times. You know, this jacket actually is funny enough, a spiritual mother of mine, I call her Ma T, and her husband, Big Daddy, it's Teresa and Scott Mitchell. But we call them Ma T and Big Daddy because they just cared for us spiritually. She would always go and find these jackets on clearance somewhere. And she just said, baby, I just know you needed a new jacket. And me and Big Daddy just wanted to buy it for you. You know, she'd always came with gifts and encouragement and things like that. But we need spiritual mothers. We need spiritual fathers. It takes a village, amen? And so if you see somebody that's walking in their faith with Jesus, they're new to their faith with Jesus, it's okay to love them like they're your own. It's okay to encourage them like they're your own, amen? And young people in the Lord, don't be afraid to reach out to the older and say, man, I need to be guided. I need someone that I can say you were right to, amen? But let us also take this day as a reminder to be like them, to love deeply, to give selflessly, to nurture faithfully. Because in doing so, we reflect Christ. the one who gave us mothers, and whose own love is the very source of theirs. Would you stand with me this morning? Don't have a heart attack. I know we're early. I know you got some moms to go love on, amen. I wanted to make sure you have plenty of time to do that. But can we just think about this? May the Lord bless all mothers today. May He comfort the childless, uphold the grieving, and inspire us all to love as He loves. Let the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us today. Father, I just come to You today, and I just look to You to give us the grace to change us by Your Spirit into the nature of Your Son. And God, we look at mothers and we see such a beautiful picture of Your grace and of Your love and of Your strength. And Lord, we have gratitude this morning that You've blessed us with such blessings. Thank You for my mother. Thank You for my mothers. Thank You for my grandparents, God. Thank You for the lineage of faith that has been passed down. God, I don't take that lightly, that I had such a head start in comparison to so many other people groups and nations that don't know You. They don't have parents that have had faith. They don't have grandparents that were in the church. I just pray for them, God, that Your Spirit comes and meets with them, that they may be the first, that they may be the first of a generation that passes down this precious, precious lineage of faith that is found in Jesus alone. Let us all take on the nature that we have so witnessed with the mothers in this room. Love, compassion, mercy, grace. Father, we just love You. We thank You. Bless the mothers. Bless those that are traveling today for this holiday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're released. Go love on your moms if they're around. Amen.